This is a wonderful day in the Lord because of the mere fact that I'm yet counted amongst the living, standing this morning on the power and the promises of my God that told me that if I'd go, he'd go with me. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I feel his presence with us this morning. If you have your Bibles, we'd like to call your attention to 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter, and I will be reading verses 5 through 9. Sunday school scholars, I know that you're already on board. Hallelujah, Jesus. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Supporting scripture coming from 1 John 5 and 14 and 15, which you've already heard in your hearing this morning. The Bible said, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." The book of James 4, 2, and 3. James 4, 2, and 3. "Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." On the basis of those verses, we like to use a thought or theme this morning. It's all in how you ask and what you ask for. It's all in how you ask and what you ask for. Now, I know you feel good, but I got to say some of this morning. So you better pray. Do the best you can. And I don't believe you're out of order. I'm just going to go on anyhow. You fan, you cry, you do what you got to do, and I'm going to do what I got to do. That all right? I come to preach this morning. Hallelujah. Because there's somebody in here this morning that still need to ask God for something. So I got to let you know it's all in how you ask him. And then you got to be careful what you ask him for. Glory, hallelujah. I saw my little cousin up there. She asked the Lord for a dance. God done gave her that dance now. Hallelujah. Be careful what you ask for. Glory, hallelujah. Once again, God is blessing in this house. And this is not the only house of worship. You can go to every corner and there's a church house. But one thing about going to church, it's not about the name on the marquee. It's not about how fancy it look on the inside. But it's all about the people of God and the church that you carry with you when you come in this building and then go back out the door. You carry your church home with you. So if you say that you go to a dry church, then that means you dry. And you take your dry cell phone home back to your dry folk. But if you got something, there's nothing nobody can say or do to make you stop doing what you are doing. If you got a loved one that don't understand your walk with God, you just keep praying for that loved one. Because one thing about it, don't let them hinder you from keeping on walking. Because sometimes we don't understand how God works in other people's lives. But if we would just try to understand, what is God doing? What is God saying to me in my life? I have a chance this morning to glorify God and to praise God. And I believe this morning that He is truly worthy of the praises. I have no problem this morning telling somebody that the Lord is good. For I heard yesterday, I heard Christy yesterday kept on saying and hollering out to the top of her lung, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Don't you know it's good to know God to be good? And sometimes we look at folk and they may not act like we act. They may not look like we look. And we may think that there's something wrong with them. But I believe that if you know God, if you can believe in God, then there's something special about you. Many of us that think that we've already arrived, we're going to be sadly mistaken. For there's going to come a time when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's not going to be what Reverend so-and-so did or did not do. It's not going to be what mama or daddy did or did not do. Because if God allow you to live, to become of age, to have an understanding, then you got to give an account of your own life. Too many people are going around still trying to make excuses for what they're doing today about what happened yesterday, but yesterday has come and gone. So I can't keep on leaning on yesterday to justify what I'm doing today. There should be a time in your life that something that happened in your life yesterday should have been a learning experience. That there should have been something to come out of that to make you realize that there is a God somewhere. I believe that there's nothing too hard for the Lord to do. God is yet still a miracle worker. He is a savior. He is well as a deliverer and a king. Somebody once said that He is my shepherd. I shall not want. Somebody said that when everybody else turned their back on you, that God will still be right there. Any witnesses in the house this morning? Had those so-called friends that said, I'll be with you to the end. I'll go with you. If you need me, call me. I'll be there. But when you needed them and you called them, they had one excuse after another as to why they couldn't do what they said that they were going to do. But I come to serve you. Notice that I serve a God that can do just what He said He's going to do. And the God that I serve, He does not play games with you. God says in His word that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. We are in a position in life where we love living. Love living. Why do you think that? As much as you complain about your medication, you still taking it. The price is yet going up, but you will find a way to get that thing that you believe that's going to be a help to help you live a little bit longer. We got to understand this morning that when it comes to serving God, it cannot be about us. We got to know this morning for a fact that it is bigger than what we are. It's bigger than my attitude. It's bigger than my problem. It's bigger than the mere fact that I don't have all the things that I might want in life. But when I can look at my life and know that I got everything that I need, then God has did what he said that he did. The word of God said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. But don't you know, I thank God for Jesus this morning. I'm glad that I can always go to God in prayer. We got to love God enough, and we got to learn to refuse to allow anything or anybody to get between us and our God. Sometimes people open up their mouth and they come out of their mouth wrong. They're always talking about what you ought to do. They're always talking about this, that, or the other. And sometimes the things that would come out of one's mouth can hinder another individual from getting closer to God. Those of us that come to God's house Sunday after Sunday and we try to do the things that are right, but yet sometimes we find ourselves sitting on a judgmental seat. Oh yeah, we got some of them right here in Fowles Chapel. You go down to Deliverance, they got some of them down there. Going around the corner of the First Baptist, they got some in there. You going up to Lincoln Park, they got some up at Union Baptist. Everywhere you go, they got a critic in the crowd. And the critic is always going to find some fault. They'll find fault with the preacher. They'll find fault with the choir. They find fault with the usher. They find fault with even how people act in God's house. They don't want to praise them. They don't want you to praise them. Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Persecution or famine, sickness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, I love what Paul writes here. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, in other words, I'm not going to let anything or anybody or nothing separate me from the love of God. I found out that God loves me more than I love myself. I found out that with God, I can do things that I thought I could not do. We find this morning that our whole Christian character is based on what we believe and the extent into what we believe it. If you believe God will make a way, then you will walk like God will make a way. Your character will be such that you will take a positive attitude, a positive outlook on the things that you go through in life. There's somebody this morning that's going through, and as soon as you go through, you want to throw your hands up and give up in despair. Soon as something happens in your life, it's always somebody's against me. Well, I'm here to let you know this morning that the enemy is against you. And the enemy got a whole lot of somebody that works for him. You better be careful who you call your friend. Everybody smile in your face don't love you. I learned that a long time ago. Does not matter whether you're in the house of God or not. There are some folk that will be looking right in your face. Throw your arms around your neck and say, I love you. And as soon as you turn your back, they'll stab you in your back. Anybody know anybody like that? You may as well be real with yourself. We got to learn that it's all about our faith walk. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And if we walk by faith, then we are believing that God can do anything but fail. The Bible tells me that if we got faith the size of a mustard seed, which is a very minute, a very, very small seed that if I put it in my hand, I might not be able to see it. But if I got that much faith, the Bible says I can say to this mountain, move yonder, and so it will be. That's the kind of faith you got to have in God. That faith that when it seems like everybody has turned their backs on you, that you still going to stand up anyhow. You got to have that faith that you know that anything that you need, all you got to do is go to God and ask him. And God will give you what you ask him for. When we look at the book of James, James said, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. that ye may consume it upon your lust. In other words, you ask things for your own personal pleasures. You're more worried about you and your own thing than about God's thing. When we read these verses, we need to know and understand that James is not talking about national wars, but he's talking about the quarrels and disagreements that happen amongst Christians who will not handle things God's way, but they do things their own way. You know any folk that say, I'm going to lay my religion down? You got any folk that say they love God, but by the way that they act and by the way that the things that come out of their mouth, you are surprised sometimes at what come out of the saints' mouth or the so-called saints? I wonder if we were to give an account of when we are not on our guard. It's easy to praise God in here. It's easy to say, I love you in here. But when you get home and you begin to think about the things that are going through your mind and the real you come out. Anybody know anything about the real you? Oh, don't freeze up on me now. You were hopping all around the place a while ago. Now hop on this. What about the real you? When ain't nobody watching you, when nobody's listening, you think to you, and you begin to say those little nothings that gonna mean a whole lot of something after a while. You better hear what I'm saying. You ever heard somebody say you gotta learn how to read between the lines? Well, yeah, how about jumping in between these lines? If you keep on doing the things and saying the things that you're doing the way that you're doing them, hell is gonna be your home. I come to tell you some good news this morning. It's all about your attitude. You get an attitude because you can't do what you want to do. This is God's house. And the Bible says it ought to be run decently. So you know that. That makes it a little bit easier for me to tell you what I got to tell you, since you already know. If you're going to be decent in order, then move yourself out the way and begin to believe and declare that it's all about Jesus. I preach because Jesus called me to preach. I stand because he said if I stand, he'd stand with me. Those of us that are walking around with wind in our jaws, somebody need to get a pen and blow you right up. Some of you can't jump because you're too heavy. And I'm not talking about weight heavy either. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily, it's not hard for the devil to use some of us. All you need is just a little worm. There are those this morning that all you gotta be is in the midst and somebody say, honey child, did you?
That's right.
You don't need no more than that. You don't need no more than that because you're going to start running. John, let me tell you. I heard what they were saying over there about you. Now, I don't know exactly what they said.
Yeah, yeah.
But I believe they were talking about you.
Yeah.
You know any folk like that this morning? You better look beside you and see who's sitting beside you this morning. Somebody might be checking you out. God wants us to stop letting feeble things hinder us from being about his business. The Bible said that Jesus said on one occasion, I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is yet still day, it is daytime in some of our lives. And don't you know that the evening time is going to soon come? So we need to be about our Father's business. God has so much power, and I believe that he gives us the assurance that he will do just what he said that he would do. If you don't let nothing hinder you or keep you from doing what God will have you to do, you got to learn how to ask God for everything that you want. And when you ask him, know that God will give you just what you ask for. But the Bible said you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. When you ask with the wrong attitude, when you got the wrong motive in mind, when you're asking God to do things against somebody else. Oh yeah, we got some folks just that crazy. Lord, I want you to just do something to them because of what they did to me. And don't think that it does not happen. There are many people that don't pray you up, they pray you down. There are people that see you seemingly like you're going to prosper, and all of a sudden they try to tear you apart. See, you get something new and they began to talk everything about you and tell you that you got it in the wrong manner. But what God has for you, don't you know it's yours this morning? Looking at a person's character and then trying to decide where they're going to spend eternity. We better be careful about the ground that we touch. Everything is not your business. There are some things that you need to just take it to the Lord in prayer. When we look here at John's writings, John believed that if we are a believer of God, then we have the blessed assurance that God would give us anything we ask him for. For the Bible says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he have testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God have the witness in himself. He that believeth not God have not made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God have given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that have the Son have life, and he that have not the Son of God have not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, in God, that if we ask God anything according to his will. You see, that's where the key comes in. When we ask God for something, we need to learn how to ask him to do it in your will. Not my will, but Lord, I need to do it according to your will. And the Bible said that if we ask him in according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hear us, then whatsoever we ask him, if you ask God for something, and you're a true believer that God is a God that will give you what you ask him for. If you know that God hears the man's prayer, for God will hear your humble cry when you call out to the Lord thy God. We ought to learn how to call on God beyond a shadow of a doubt. We can't have any doubt in our mind when it comes to talking to God. We got to have a mind to know that when we want something from God, we need to have an understanding. The Bible saying all of you getting get an understanding. We got to understand that there's a conscious knowledge of the possession of eternal life. That is the basis of our joy and our blessedness of the fellowship that we have with God one day. Somebody's looking for a day when they're going to be with the Lord. But sometimes we're in a place where we don't know whether we need to go left or whether we need to go right. We got to learn how to ask God, which way would you have me to go? Now, if you want to do what God has you to do, then you got to ask God for the right thing. It's all in how you ask him, and then it's what you ask God for. I'm reminded of a man by the name of Solomon. Solomon was a man that loved God with all of his heart. Solomon loved God to the point that he gave his all in all for the Lord. Solomon was a king that had all the riches that man could ask for. And the Bible says Solomon loved the Lord and walked in the statutes of his father David. Only he sacrificed the burnt offerings in high places. Sometimes when you do things for God, people don't understand why you're doing what you do. But you got to be or have a mind like King Solomon. You got to know that you're doing what God would have you to do. I believe that as we look here in our text this morning, God is telling us in the mighty word of God, when God said in Acts, Solomon, ask what I should give thee. See, what we got to understand, that Solomon had been blessed by the Lord thy God. And Solomon went to the temple and he began to offer sacrifices. The Bible said he offered over 1,000 lambs, over 1,000 animals in sacrifice to the Lord. And when he gave the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, God came unto Solomon in a dream. And when he came to Solomon in the dream, he asked him, Lord, what do you want from me? And I look here in the word of God, Solomon said unto the Lord, Lord, you showed unto thy servant David, you showed him great mercy. According as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, he'd been upright in his heart. And I've seen you bless my father over and over again. But Lord, I want to know this morning, how am I going to do what you want me to do? When I look here at this multitude of people, there are people all around and I cannot number how many people there are. And Lord, I want to know, how am I going to be able to be the king of these people? I'm nothing but a child myself. I don't know how to go out and I don't know how to come in. Now, Solomon was 20 years old. He wasn't a little child. But what he was saying, I don't have life experience. I don't have the experience of doing those things when it comes to complicated situations. So the Bible said that when he went off to sleep, and he began to talk to the Lord thy God, and he began to come and ask God for something. He said, Lord, give therefore me thy servant. Give me an understanding heart, that I might be able to judge thy people, that I may discern good from evil, that I may know who is able to judge such a great people. Solomon realized, I can't do it all by myself, but I need somebody this morning that'll help me along the way. Where the Bible said that the Lord God said unto Solomon, Solomon, you've answered a mighty good answer. I'm pleased with what you said unto me. And because of the way that you answered me, I'm going to give you just what you asked for. I'm going to make you wise so that you be able to handle your business. I'm going to give you knowledge that no other man would be able to have. And as long as you live, there'll be nobody smarter. There's nobody with more wisdom. As long as you're alive, you have all wisdom. And I believe this morning that God said in his mighty word, I gave you an opportunity to ask me for something in life. I'll give you anything that you ask for. But what I like about you, Solomon, you didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for material things. But all you asked for was a little bit of wisdom so that you might be able to help thy people. I'm glad to know that it's how you ask God. You gotta ask God for what you want this morning. And I know this morning that God will make a way out of no way. But when I look in the word of God, we find out that Solomon had an opportunity to exercise what God had given him. For the Bible said that two harlots came to him. And one said, I had a child, and this woman that lived with me. 3 days later, she had a child. But one morning, when I woke up in the morning, and I got ready to feed my baby, that baby was dead. But when I looked at the baby, that was not my child. So I want to know, King Solomon, will you tell this woman to give me my child? Where the other woman steps up. She said, you just telling a lie. That's my baby. I was there, and your baby is dead. Don't you know if you got two women and both are saying that that's my child, there's not nobody there. For the woman said, there's not a stranger amongst us. In other words, we don't have nobody to be a witness. But I know my child when I see it. Anybody in here, you mothers in the house, once you had your baby and look at it one time, you ought to know your baby. And there's something about the love of a mother. You see, Solomon asked that question. redemption just in time. For the Lord blessed Solomon. Solomon stood there. He used his intellect. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. Bring me a sword and I'll split the baby in half. And that way both of you will have had that child. Well now, if you were the mother of that child, before I allow my child to die, you can have my baby. Take my baby and do my baby right. But the other woman that had the wrong motive, that was telling a lie anyhow, she said, clean up, give me half, and get the other woman half. Well, right there, Solomon knew, I know who the real mother is. Because a real mother will say hallelujah anyhow. I'd rather lose my child than for my child to die. So you better learn how to ask God. Lord, I want something from you this morning. It's how you ask and then what you ask for. What Solomon asked for was just wisdom and understanding. God will give you. God will give you what you asked for this morning. But you got to learn how to ask in faith. And God got somebody that can look between the tricks of the devil. Don't you know that's a sad situation? That a woman would tell a lie and allow a child to die just because she's hurt, mad and upset because her baby has died. But don't you know that serves us a lesson this morning? We got to learn how to thank God for what we got. And how many of us would have the same love that this mother had? Before you kill the child, let the child go on. And that's what allowed Solomon to realize who the real mother was. And then don't you know that was such a tough decision? That all the people that heard about how Solomon handled that situation, he said, great man of God, you got to be God sent. For God has blessed you and given you wisdom that we know not of. If you ever need an answer to a question and you're standing at the crossroads, being indecisive, not knowing which way you need to go, all I'm saying to you this morning is ask God. Ask God for what you want. And then be careful what you ask him for. God will do just what you ask him to do. But in the midst of all of that, don't never let nobody get between you and your God. That other harlot, she was getting in between God and the work of God. But there's always somebody. There's somebody that is willing to make a sacrifice. And that's what that lady had decided in her heart. I'm going to sacrifice giving up my child just to make sure that the child stay alive. You know, it's a mean, cruel thing to be so mean that you want to hurt somebody else just because you hurt. Death may come to our house this week, but be ye well assured it is coming to your house. Because the Bible said, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after death, you got to go to judgment. It's all in how you ask. If you ask him with the wrong attitude, then you're not going to get the answer that you're looking for. But if you ask God and humble yourself at his feet, God is that kind of God. Some of us in here this morning, ask God, Lord, forgive me of the wrong I done. And there are some of us that have asked God to forgive us, and somewhere in our life we've fallen again in the same manner. And the critic and the devil would tell you that there's no hope for you. But I'm here to encourage you. You keep on asking God. Keep on looking up to the hills from where your help come from. For maybe God hadn't delivered you, but if you believe in the power of God, the Bible says he will hear your humble cry. And once he hears, he will give you the petitions In other words, the things that you ask him for, if you believe in him, then God will give you what you ask for. We are learning, we have learned from childhood up that if you ask anything in the name of Jesus, that it shall be done. Don't go asking him nothing in my name. My name don't weigh nothing. But if you ask in the name of Jesus, anything you ask him, it's possible for it to happen. But the thing is, you got to walk away believing that I trust God. I got that blessed assurance that if I ask the Lord for something, he will give me exactly what I asked him for. May God bless you this morning.